Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, today we're going to be turning to the book of Hebrews, reading from chapter 12, the first four verses in this chapter. We title the message, The Author and Finisher of Our Faith, Hebrews 12. You'll notice with me from verses 1 through verse 4. He said, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, Father, we ask your blessings today upon the reading of thy precious word. We do pray for that soul that's nearest hell, that they may come to know you as Savior. We pray today that the saints would be edified in the faith. And we ask now your blessings and your anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking here in these few verses today. And again, we are titling the message, The Author and Finisher of Our Faith, as we see in verse 2. He says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, let me say this before we get into our message today. You can find us on biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info. You'll find hundreds of sermons, full-length sermons that's been preached in the church. And you'll also find many articles, that is sermons in print. And then the second website that you can find us on with the same material is sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to type in my name there. When you find the list of speakers, you'd need to type in my name, which is Robert Reed, and again, hit links with the other website, our personal website, so you can find, again, hundreds, literally hundreds of sermons and also many articles. Well, notice as we come here to our text again, and he said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the title of the message I want to bring to you today. Well, when we come to this passage in the book of Hebrews, is a great New Testament book, and it has some wonderful truth in it that's given in the 13 chapters. And when we come to this book, we, especially as we read chapter 10, verse 31 through verse 39, we see that the book is written to Hebrew believers. Now, it applies to us all today, obviously, but it's written to the New Testament saints, the Hebrew believers in the first century. And during a time that they were being persecuted, and the book of Hebrews is written not only to bring about the truth and the comparison between the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, but the book is written to encourage the believer to endure and to keep the faith. You've got to realize that when this book was written, the temple was still standing in Jerusalem, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew chapter 24, it was literally torn down and destroyed in AD 70, but when the book of Hebrews is written, this temple was still standing. Now, when we come to Hebrews chapter 12, reading in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We find here in this text, he makes reference to a great cloud of witnesses. Now, our context is dealing with the Christian life. And the Christian life is a race. It is a marathon. It is not a 100-yard dash. In other words, he speaks of a life of faith. He speaks of enduring. He speaks of the fact that this race is completely and totally run by faith. And then in verse 1, he mentions here a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what he is referring to is the entire scope or chapter 11. In chapter 11, we see the heroes of faith. Those of chapter 11 are those who have already crossed the finish line and are a testimony to you and I today. When you begin reading in chapter 11, the first three verses give us a definition of faith. And then from verse 4 through verse 40, he gives us many examples of those who walked by faith in the Old Testament. We find that even in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4, he said, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Old Testament is written for our learning. It's written that we might have patience, that we might have comfort, and that we might have hope. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Let me just stop reading there. We find that he gives us a definition of faith in these three verses. And then he gives us many examples. He begins in verse 4 with the example of Abel. Then in verse 5, the example of Enoch. And then in chapter 11, verse 7, Noah. Chapter 11, verse 8, we find Abraham. In verse 11, we see Sarah and then many others that are mentioned. As we scan down through this chapter, Isaac and Jacob are mentioned in verse 20 and 21. Joseph is mentioned in verse 22. Moses is mentioned, even Moses' parents, in verse 23 down through about verse 27. We find that the nation of Israel is mentioned, and we find that Rahab, the harlot, is mentioned. Many others are mentioned throughout this chapter. So as we come into chapter 12 in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So we have those who have already crossed the finish line. We have those who have lived and died by faith in God's Word. We have some of them that had won great victories and destroyed the enemy. We have some, as Daniel, who had stopped the lion's mouth. And we have others who lived in dens and caves and were destitute. And we have some that were tormented or tortured and sawn asunder and persecuted. But all have crossed the finish line. All walk by faith in the Old Testament. And that's what chapter 11 is all about. Chapter 11 is to encourage us in the faith. So in verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The Christian life is a race. And he's encouraging us by giving us the testimonies and the witness of those who have lived years ago. And he's encouraging us with those individuals from the Old Testament. And so he's saying to us, since we are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, he's saying to us, let us lay aside every weight. That is external temptations, any encumbrances, anything that would hinder us from being a winner in the faith, anything that would weigh us down, anything that would retard our progress or slow us down for the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, unnecessary burdens. When he speaks of weights here, he's not necessarily talking about sinful things within itself. We're going to see the sinful things in just a moment. But these could be things such as our business. It could even be hobbies, the cares of this world. It could have to do with money, finances, many, many other things. Anything that would weigh us down. Anything that would hinder us. Anything that would slow us down a little bit. Then we are not to allow these things in our lives. And then he goes on in our text and he mentions the word sin. He said, let us lay aside. In other words, put these things behind. Put them down. Let us lay aside every weight in verse 1 and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now this could refer just to sin in general. But obviously, the sin of unbelief is mentioned throughout this chapter, especially in chapter 4, and also in chapter 3, and then as you read through chapter 11, speaks of encouraging us with faith. So unbelief will hold us back. But any sin that would beset us, in other words, easily surround us, any sin that would grab a hold of our affections, any sin that would get a hold of us in a way that could destroy us, that could slow us down, that could hinder us in our walk for the Lord. He says in verse 1 again, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And then he said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is given to us in many different metaphors and many different ways and examples to encourage us. But one way that we look at the Christian life is it is as a race. This would be seen in many places in the Bible. But he says here that this race that we're to run, we're not to let any weight, we're not to have anything that weights us down. We're not to have anything that would hinder us, slow us down in our Christian life. He also says here that any sin that is indwelling depravity, anything within us, any besetting sin, we know that through unbelief all other sins spring from that, for it stands in opposition to faith. Anything, any sin, anything that can hinder us from being obedient to God, he's saying, get it out of your life. And then he says in this passage, he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has appointed this race. God has set this before us. And there's a finish line. There's a goal here. There's something to be accomplished. We're to run with a focused mind and heart and our eyes In other words, we're not to be looking back. He says in Luke 9, the latter part of that chapter, any man that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So we're to run with patience. Why do we need to run with patience? This is something that's mentioned throughout this letter and many other letters. It's mentioned 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through about 7. Hebrews 10 and verse 36, and James in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And why do we run with patience? Because this is a marathon. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is something that we jump in and it's over in a short period of time. Faith is a lifelong deal. I've been a Christian for many years. And it's something that when we enter this race, when we are saved, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's something that we are to be a part of for life. It's not something that's just going to fizzle out one day. And so he says here that we need patience. Patience is needed in this race. Again, you run, 100 yards. That's one thing, but when you step out here and you're running a race, 5 miles, 10 miles, whatever the case may be, you're going to need patience because the side can start aching, the legs can cramp, the lungs can feel like they're exploding and those kind of things. And so you're going to need patience and endurance and set some stride. Well, notice now in verse 2, which is the actual title of our message, looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Interesting statement. Looking unto Jesus. Why do we need to look unto Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, He not only died for our sins that we might have eternal life, but we see that the Lord Jesus is our example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Now think about this, and again, He's our Savior, that has to come first, but as a believer, He is my example. He lived a life of faith. He began and completed the course. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7 speaks of running the course or finishing the course. The Lord Jesus, He lived a life of faith. He began and completed the course. And so in this passage, He's called the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, when He uses the word author, He's the originator. He's the leader. He is first in rank. He's the chief. He's the captain. He started it and He will complete it. He's the beginning of the church in Colossians 1:8. He is the head of the church in Colossians 2:10, or the head of all principality and power. So we find here that He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 17 through 18, the word finisher has the ideal of being the perfecter, the completer, and the fulfiller. It's a word associated with endurance. It's a word associated with endurance. He stands at the finish line and waits for us. But not only that, we see here very clearly in our text that he is the author and finisher, notice, of our faith. This is used in the sense of the total body of truth that we believe. Now, again, chapter 11 is dealing with the importance of faith and giving us the definition of faith and giving us examples of faith. Chapter 12 carries us a step farther. It gives us the supreme example of faith. And He uses the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 21, it says, For even hereunto were ye called. And in the context, He's talking about suffering. He says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. And He elaborates on that example and following his steps in verse 23, or verse 22 rather, through verse 25. So he is the author, the originator, and he is the finisher, the completer, or fulfiller of our faith. The word finisher, again, is a word associated with endurance, as we're going to see in verse 3 and in verse 4. Now, this is very important, and I know that mainly today I'm talking to believers. My sermon is centered around those who have been saved and those who are trusting the Lord. If you're not a Christian, if you've never been saved, obviously, as Acts 20, verse 21, there has to be repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for your sins at Calvary's cross. The Bible said in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, in order to be saved, you must confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and you must believe in your heart. Because it says in verse 10, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then in verse 13 he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're not saved today, you can't walk by faith, you can't live by faith, you can't suffer by faith, if you're not saved. The first step in this, you must be born again, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is through Him and in Him and no other way. So you must receive Him as your Lord and Savior. But those of you who are Christians, we're talking about walking the Christian life, running the Christian life. And so He's telling us, in our text, he's saying, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus Christ is my example. And for the joy that was set before him, he saw the goal. He saw the finish line. He saw the end that is a redeemed bride, his church. He was the firstborn among many brethren. That is our incentive for running this race. He endured the cross. He remained steadfast. He despising the shame. And all of this, he is now set down at the right hand of the Father. Now he comes to verse 3 and 4, and here's what he's saying to the first century Jewish Christians in the early church. Again, these things apply to you and I today as well as it did to them. But here he says in verse 3 and 4, he said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith in verse 2. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. You think you've got problems? The Lord had opposition everywhere he went. He was constantly being opposed. His opposition began at birth. There was no room in the inn. He was not wanted. He died between two thieves. Always treated with contempt. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was cursed, he was smitten, he was whipped, and these things can happen in our lives. But we're looking at him will not become weary and faint in well-doing, as in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. To faint in one's mind is to despair or become depressed, as in the case of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 4 through verse 7. And again, Luke 9:62, don't look back. Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. You see, faith helps keep us calm and helps keep us restful. Well, he says in verse 4, you have not resisted in the blood, striving against sin. Now, when we read in chapter 10, verse 31 through the end of the chapter, they were going through persecution. They had received the spoiling of their goods. When we read in chapter 12 here in verse 4, they were resisting, but they had not been martyred. They had not died. They were not resisting unto blood. But they were going through tremendous things. In chapter 13, verse 3, we find there's some that were in bonds. And then in chapter 11, we find that from verse 35 through the end of the chapter, we see there are those there who had cruel mockings and scourging and bonds and imprisonment and were stoned and sawn asunder. They were tempted and all that they were destitute and all the things that they had went through in the Old Testament. He's telling the New Testament believers, these things can happen to you, but look unto Jesus. Consider all of the Old Testament believers, but he's saying, now listen, let me give you the supreme, the ultimate example of this. He says, I want you to look unto Jesus Christ. May I leave with you today the encouragement of these passages? Because those of you that are listening to my voice, you're as myself, you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And he says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It is so easy to become weary and to faint. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Peter 4:1, Galatians 6:9, Philippians 2:5, and Revelation 2 and verse 3 and many other places. It's so easy for this to happen. In other words, we see here again that this contradiction is something that goes counter to something else. And so we see again the Lord was in constant opposition, or others were in opposition to him and his message that he brought to humanity. So these are very encouraging words to those of us who are Christians, to those of us who have been born again, that we are to realize there is a great cloud of witnesses. Today, 2,000 years from the first century, not only do we have the Old Testament saints of God, but we also today, we have the church age, the last 2,000 years of many stories of great faith and many who have been martyred, who have been persecuted. So we have that before us today. So these are a blessing to us. They are encouraging to us and we need them. So Jesus Christ is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. We are to look unto him. We are to look unto him so that we do not become weary and so that we do not faint. Well, I want to thank you for listening to broadcast again today. And our time is just about come and gone. And we appreciate you listening each week. We hope that you'll go to the websites that we've given, biblicaltruth.info. Or sermonaudio.com, and you'll find, again, we've got hundreds of sermons, many, many articles that sermons put in print. And I believe that these will be a tremendous blessing to you. And if you've been blessed by the radio broadcast, we would love to hear from you, either by letter, phone. Just let us know that you're listening. If you've been saved through the broadcast, we'd love to hear about that. If you're listening to us and you've enjoyed the broadcast, just let us know that you're listening. That's encouraging not only to myself, but also to our entire congregation. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be with you again. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrass Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrass Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.